Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 24, page 1111 in your Scofield Bible, page 1111, starting with the 13th verse. We'll read responsively through the 17th verse, and then pick up three more verses at my direction a little bit later in the chapter. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And let's read together verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And let's finish on verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day. Thank you for the truth that is preached from this pulpit on a regular basis. And thank you for revealing to our preacher the things that we need. We're just common, ordinary folks. So often we don't know what we need. But we're thankful that you tell the preacher our needs, and it's a wonderful place to come and to have the needs that we have met through the preaching. Thank you for that 6 o'clock hour when we heard from our brother Elmer Fernandez. What a joy and blessing it is to hear what you're doing in the Spanish-speaking world. Now thank you for this preaching hour. We need yet something more today. Help us not to go away before we get it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I should have told you a while ago that we're going to vote Wednesday night to tear this building down over here on the corner that we just tore down. Turn me up just a bit, about as much as you can. But that building is about down. We've already started on the rescue mission, the old building. We had to tear it down. The city made us do it. And we've already started on that, and I hope it'll be down sometime this week or next. And then we will have to tear down eventually in the next few months the building across where the Pathfinders and the Sunbeams meet and other classes. But we've been given permission, after having met code on that building for a while, to continue using that building until we can meet code on the hotel we bought. And now we're working on meeting code on the hotel, and as soon as that's done, we can move the Pathfinders and the Sunbeams and over there, and the rescue mission then can meet over there. And in the meantime, the rescue mission men are just sort of in the wilderness wandering. We have a hotel where they're staying, one of these downtown Hammond hotels, luxury hotels, minus AAA hotels, and they're staying there. Probably within 3 months, we'll be able to tear the building down, the Pathfinder building and the Sunbeam building, and then the mission will move to the hotel, and so will those departments, and then these other two buildings will go down, and then we can proceed with building the new building, and we're doing all we can right now to get permission and meet the codes for that. Also, the building in Munster, where we hope to have the City Baptist Elementary School, and where we'll have it, we have received the approval of our plans from the state building department, and they have approved it, and it's back in the hands in Munster, and we think in about 2 weeks we'll be able to start getting that building ready for the opening of the spring semester in January. So a lot's going on. Not only that, the Spanish folks over here, they've had the first two buildings of the old Fish Furniture Company for a long time, and now then they're getting that made. The top two floors are prepared, being prepared, and soon the entire Spanish department will be over there across the street. And that brings you up to date. Let me read you one scripture that we read a while ago. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And here's my text. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Jesus himself was there, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I read my mail on Tuesday in a room distant in another state where I was speaking. I read four letters, one right after the other, of people who one time had been in this area, had gone to this church, and they said, I didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize what I had. And so I sat down, prepared a sermon on that very subject. This was prepared Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon, and on I didn't realize what I had. I hope you'll listen very carefully. Father, help me as I speak tonight. I always need your help, but I think a little extra tonight. I need it, so I pray you to help. And may the people listen to what is said, and not so much it's how it's said, and accomplish the purpose of this message, please, in this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. We find two disciples. Turn me up as much as you can, please. We find two disciples in great sorrow. These disciples are taking the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to the little town called Emmaus. It was Sunday afternoon, the same Sunday afternoon that our Lord had risen from the dead. These were not apostles or men of prominence or renown, even among the 70 disciples. Just common men, Christian men. A stranger overtakes them as they walk in sorrow between Jerusalem and Emmaus and participates in their conversation. This stranger is none other than the one about whom they were speaking. They did not know that he had been raised from the dead. They did not know that Jesus was alive, and they were sadly and sorrowfully discussing his death and the loneliness they felt without the master and the leader as they journeyed that little 7-mile walk between Jerusalem and Emmaus. They did not realize it was he. They were walking with their Lord and knew it not. Oh, what they missed. That stranger is the Lord of life and the Lord of glory. That stranger that very morning had left Joseph's tomb, leading death and hell into captivity. The Creator of all things was walking with them and they knew it not. The Giver of life was walking with them and they knew it not. The one who had just died for them on the cross and risen from the dead was walking with them, and they knew it not. How sad. I mean, what they were living in history, and they didn't even know what was going on and weren't aware they were talking to the Son of God. The Bible says he even taught them of the Scriptures concerning himself, and they knew not it was he about whom he taught. Perhaps he mentioned Genesis 3:15, that the seed of woman would someday bruise the seed or the head of the serpent. And it was he. He was the seed of woman, but they knew not it was he. Perhaps he talked about the prophet that would come, one like unto Moses, and he was that prophet that would come. How sad, they knew it not. Perhaps he spoke of Isaiah 53, I'm sure he must have, where it talked about he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes were healed, and he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is dumb. And he was talking about himself. And they did not even know that that one prophesied in Isaiah 53, was the one talking with him at the time. No doubt he spoke of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and he prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child, and that child would be the Messiah. And yet they did not know that they were talking about the very one about whom he was teaching. No doubt. He talked about Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, telling exactly when this Messiah would come. And no doubt he taught them carefully about these 70 weeks. And they had no idea that he was the one about whom he was talking. Maybe he talked about Micah chapter 5. verse 2, where it even told the city where the Messiah would be born, and they did not even know that it was the Son of God. Maybe he talked about the Passover lamb that was offered, and mentioned the fact that someday the real Passover would come, and that the Messiah would be that Passover. And they were talking to that Messiah, and talking to that Passover lamb, and did not even know it was he. Perhaps he talked about the serpent of brass, or the smitten rock in Horeb, or the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, or Aaron the high priest, or Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had just said those words on the cross, and they probably heard him speak those words, and now they're walking with him on a little 7-mile journey, and the Son of God himself is talking, and they did not even know it was he. Perhaps he told them that Daniel told when he would come, and Isaiah told how he would come, and Moses told of the star pointing to him, and Micah told where he would come. Maybe he went through the tabernacle and said that door is the symbol of Jesus, who's the door. And that brazen altar is the symbol of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And that laver is the symbol of the living water. And that table of showbread is the symbol that he's the bread of life. And that golden candlestick is a symbol that he's the light of the world. And that altar of incense is a symbol that he's our high priest to intercede for us at the right hand of the throne of God himself. And no doubt he went through all of this and taught of the scriptures concerning himself. And the Bible says while he was teaching, their hearts burned within themselves, but they did not even know that he was the Son of God. Even then, heaven's recording was transcribing the entire event for future reference, for us to read. And they did not know what was going on. He was walking and talking with them. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, walking and talking with them. And they did not even know it. Here he is, the King of Kings. And they did not know it. Here he is, the King of Israel, the King of Glory, the King forever, the King everlasting, the King of Judah, the King of hosts, my God the King of heaven, the King of the Jews, the King eternal, the King supreme, the King and Lord, the King of lords, the King most high, the King whose name is the Lord, the King of Jerusalem. And here they were talking to the King of kings and Lord of lords, and they felt something on the inside, but they didn't even know what was going on. They were talking to the King, the Lord Most High, the Lord of Zion, the Constellation of Israel, the Star of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of Israel, the Stone Cup without hands, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Door, the Good Shepherd, the Resurrection, the Bread of Life, the Living Water, the Light of the World, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, God incarnate, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the fairest of 10,000, the altogether lovely one, the express image of God, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, the Rock of Ages, the I Am, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord of Lords, the Living Word, the Lord of Hosts, the Lord our God, the Lord of Kings. And that's who was walking with them, the Creator of the entire universe, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, God clothed in human flesh, risen from the dead, and their walk with him. And didn't dummies wake up? Not you. Wake up. This is Jesus you're talking to. Open your eyes. This is the one that was crucified. Hey, the tomb is empty. The sepulcher is empty. The stone's been rolled back. He's alive. There he is. Listen to him. And they didn't even know what was going on. This is the one who was introduced by John the Baptist, baptized in Jordan. No doubt you were there when he fed the 5,000. Maybe you saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, walk on the water. Perhaps you saw him still the storm. Maybe you saw him open blind eyes and deaf ears and cause the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and the blind to see, and the dead to live, and the sick to get well, and the lame to leap like a hart. Maybe you saw that. This is he. This is the one that
your sorrow because he's dead. He's not dead. He is alive forevermore. And there he is right beside you.
Maybe you saw him a few hours ago, tried, wrongly indicted, wrongly tried, wrongly convicted, wrongly crucified. No doubt it was just a while ago you saw that. But there you are, wiping your eyes, having your little pity party with your stooped shoulders, and there's no need to it. And brother, let me tell you something. There's no need for a person whose name is written in heaven to be sorrowful or sad. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. We have no right to be sad or sorrowful. Lift up your eyes and behold who it is. That tribe, their tribe, still lives in this building tonight. No awareness of what's going on. That's why you walked out during the invitation this morning. That's why you don't give a flip about seeing people saved. That's why you don't get the first in line at the restaurant a Sunday at noon, then stay here and see. Did you know that everybody got saved this morning had their names written down in heaven? Did you know everybody got saved this morning had their sins wiped off the books of God? Did you know everybody got saved this morning, had the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ recorded against their name, and here you traipse out. I get sick of seeing you traipse out the door. You don't care. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, something's going on here. Wake up and know it. That tribe is here in this building tonight. No awareness of what's going on. Some of you young people sit and fiddle your fingernails or roll your hair on your finger. While the greatest church since Jerusalem is assembled here, where more people have been saved than any room in the entire world. Hey, wake up, dummy! There's something going on! One day, you'll look through hindsight and say, I didn't realize what I had. You look at me carefully. I'll never say those words. I refuse to join that tribe. I refuse to live in history and not know what's going on. I'm not going to wait till I rot in a rest home to appreciate our comfortable condominium. I'm not going to wait till I can no longer walk to the pulpit to realize the privilege I have of standing behind the greatest pulpit and the greatest church in the entire world. I'm not going to sit in a wheelchair one of these days and say, I didn't know what I had. Bless God, when I walk in that door, I realize what I have. When I stand behind this pulpit, I realize what I have. And I'm not going to wait till someday it's taken away from me and say, I didn't realize what I had. Wake up and live. Wake up and look. Wake up and listen and realize what you have. I'm not going to wait till I can no longer drive a car to realize that nice Lincoln Town car that you gave to us that we drive. I'm not going to wait till I can no longer get out of bed to appreciate the joy of just getting up every morning. I'm not going to wait till I can no longer give an invitation to realize what goes on here every Sunday. Brother, I savor it. I savor it. I look and watch these people kneeling at the altar. I watch them come down the aisles. I savor it. I know what's going on. Let me tell you something. No National Football League game today had more importance than this. And the Tuesday, when the President of the United States is elected for 4 years, it's not as important as what goes on here in this room, bless God. I'm saying we serve the King of Glory, the King of Kings, the King of Judah, the King of Israel, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory. And it's time that we stopped and realize what's going on. Wake up, dummies. Wake up. You got your heads between your legs and you got tears rolling down your cheeks. And there's the living Christ. The tomb is empty. He's alive. He said he would. He said destroy the temple. He'd raise that 3 days. He spake this concerning his own body. He said as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, even so would he be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. He said as a corn of wheat would fall on the ground and then rises up again. He would rise up again. There he is. Realize it. I say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you live in America. You live in the greatest country in the world. You heard the gospel. Somebody told you how to go to heaven.
You're going to walk golden streets and gates of pearl forever. You're not going to burn the fires of hell. I'm trying to tell you, we're just like those two Emmaus disciples. Their eyes were holden. They did not know who he was. I'm not going to wait until I no longer can sit in my church to appreciate this wonderful place. I'm not going to wait until I can no longer eat a meal to realize the joy of a good meal. I'm not going to wait till I totally lose my health before I understand and give thanks for the health that I have. Every week, I didn't know what I had. I'm at college, away at college. I grew up in First Baptist Church. Now that I'm away, I didn't realize what I had. Well, you can. You kids down on the front, you realize what you've got here. You realize you're going to the best school on the face of God's earth. You're in the greatest church in the whole world. Servicemen, right. I had to go in the Army, the Marines, the Navy before I realized what I had at home. Young pastors write and say, while I was at First Baptist Church in Howells Anderson College, I did not realize what I had. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and live. I'm not going to wait until my days are ended at First Baptist Church to realize the greatness of this place. I'm not going to wait till I lose you to realize my love for you. You'll never hear me say, I said you'll never hear me say, I said you never will hear me say, I didn't realize what I have. I wake up every morning and say, thank God. Thank God I can get out of bed. I go to bed at night, and every night when I go to bed, I think of those over 8,000 nights I've stayed in hotels and motels around the world, and what a joy it is to be home. I get out of bed in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus. I think of our people who are in rest homes and those who are sick who will never get out of bed again. Mrs. Howells and I stood beside the bed Friday morning of a little lady, been in our church for, I guess, 35, 40 years. She's bedfast and she'll never get out of bed. Thank God I got up this morning. I came to church this morning. I got to sing the songs of God with thousands of people this morning. I never get up without thinking of those of our people who are confined in the cell block of a rest home or a bedroom with nothing but walls for horizon and the floor for land and a ceiling for the sky and a light bulb for the sun. And I say, thank God, hallelujah, I can get up. I ate breakfast with Mrs. Hiles and remember the empty plates we had as a boy. When I look at our condo, I remember the little shack on Ann Arbor in Dallas and thank God for the luxury we enjoy. I remember that little one room we had in Fayetteville, North Carolina, 6x12. And thank God for what I have now. I put my shoes on in the morning. I'm preaching to you, young ladies. Hey, I'm preaching to you too. Sit up and listen to me. That's our trouble. Sit there talking while history's being made. But you ought to be on the edge of your seat saying, boy, I gotta soak this up while I have it. You say, Brother Hiles, you do this every morning? You betcha. You're wrong to bet. You wager. You betcha I do. When I lace my shoes up, every single morning, I go back to the outlet shoe store in Dallas, Texas, when I was 14 years old. The government had given, I'd never owned a pair of shoes bought for me. The government gave us a little coupon that people that had no shoes could go down and pick out a pair of shoes that didn't cost very much. And I remember sitting there in the outlet shoe store, 14 years of age, for the first time trying on a new pair of shoes.
and just think how good God's been to me. You know, somebody said, Brother Hines, I marveled all these people get up and shout while you're preaching. I marvel that everybody didn't do it. How good God's been to you. And you sit there and gripe. Your cup's half empty instead of half full. It's not even half full. It's 99% full. And you gripe about the 1%. Wake up, you dummies. Good night. There you are crying because he's dead. He's alive. You're crying because he's buried. The tomb is empty. You're crying because he's no longer here. There he is. Wake up and wake up, First Baptist Church. Wake up, young people. Wake up, children. Wake up, adults. Wake up and realize exactly what's going on. I get in the car and remember that 3 years that Mrs. Hiles and I had no car. I use the washroom and remember that outhouse in the backyard. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God, you use one of those outhouses one time and you'll have a shouting spell because you got a restroom. I adjust the thermostat and remember the wood stove we had. I take a shower every Saturday night. And by the way, you don't know, but that's what we used to do. Saturday was bathing day. And we didn't need, whether we needed it or not, we took a bath. I never step in the shower what I think about that number two tub. Our number two tub. Where Mama would get some water and heat it on the wood stove and pour it in the number two tub and then pour enough cold water in to make it comfortably warm. And my big daddy would get in that thing and bathe. 235 pounds, 6'3" tall, he could get in that tub. Try to get in one sometime. He bathed. Mama bathed. Then Arlene bathed. They got dirty then. I was always the last to bathe. I can still see myself looking at that water and wondering who was the dirtiest, me or Erlene's water there. Now, you forgive me, I'm not going to take a shower without thanking God and remembering what I used to have. I'm not going to get in the car in the morning without thanking God for the day I had no car. I'm not going to turn on the lights without thanking God that way they don't no longer have to turn on a kerosene lamp or a lantern. I'm trying to say, praise the Lord, all ye hosts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Wake up! Wake up! Jesus is there. Wake up! Wake up! Jesus is here. I don't mean I do this sometime. I mean to do it all the time. I know what I have. And you'll never, as I said a while ago, you'll never hear me say, I didn't realize what I had. Every service, I walk out my office, look at my preacher boys there on the wall, pray for all of them as a group, and then pick out a few and pray for them by name as they preach tonight. I did. I pray as I walk through that door, dear God, help me to preach tonight as if this were the last sermon I'd preach. I had no voice today, but bless God, I'm not about turning this pulpit over to somebody else. You guys got plenty of years to preach after I'm gone, but I don't have many years to preach, and bless God, as long as I'm here, the old man's going to take care of the preaching. Voice or no voice, horse or no horse. Boy, I love that story about Stamps Baxter Quartet. Old Frank Stamps, he started the quartet. He was the bass singer. I heard him say one day on the radio, and he said, bless God, I want to get to heaven. I want to hear a great choir sing. I want to hear 10,000 sopranos sing to the glory of God. Then I want 10,000 altos to join them and harmonize, sing to the glory of God. Then I want to hear 10,000 tenors join the altos and sopranos and sing to the glory of God. Somebody said, Mr. Stamps, how about the base? He said, I'll take care of the base. I don't understand these little 35-year-old preachers. Can't wait till the next missionary gets in so they won't have to preach. I understand that. I understand preachers. Some preacher comes to visit in their service and they'll say, why don't you come out and preach? Say, I say, sit still and listen to me. I got something to tell you. Wake up, fellas. Hey, dummies, wake up. That's Jesus there. Here you are lamenting the fact that he's dead, and he's not even dead. He's alive. Alive forevermore. I look at this crowd every Sunday when I walk out. And I see 19 people at the Mars Chapel Baptist Church. I'm not going to say I didn't know what I had. I prepare to preach and realize that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I watch invitation time and remember the first year of my ministry when nobody walked the aisle in my little country church. I watch someone kneeling at the altar. As I watch him at the altar, I realize what's going on. I like to watch a deacon. He holds his hand out to the person getting saved. And the person reaches out and takes the deacon's hand. And all of a sudden my attention goes up to heaven and thinking what kind of spell they're having up there right now. There's a new name written down in glory. And the recording angel writes the name of that person down. His sins are blotted out. The perfect righteousness of Christ is placed against his record. Hey, wake up! Hey, close the door. Come back in. Something's going on in here. And you don't even know what it is. I promise you this. Some of these kids, young people, 25 years from now, will say, I was there. I was there. But I didn't realize what I had. You'll never hear me say it. Because I realized it. I think of what's going on in heaven when somebody gets saved. I watch you leave Sunday morning as I stand up here. I watch you as you go to the exits. And I stand here and savor every moment of it because the day will come when I won't be able to do it anymore. And I'm not going to say I didn't know what I had. I look at you doing the service and love you and savor it. I look at my Bible and realize that this is the eternal Word of God. This is God's eternal book, always was, always is, always will be. I realize that in this body dwells a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to wait till I cannot read the Bible. Or maybe as an older man, senility sets in, or Alzheimer's, and I'll be unable to comprehend the Bible. I'm not going to wait till then and say I didn't know what I had. Or if blindness were to come and keep me from reading the Bible, I'm not going to have to say, I won't have to say I didn't realize what I have. I realize what I have. Bless God, I know my name is written in the book of life. My sins have been blotted out of heaven's records, and God refuses to place any sins there in the future. Next to my name is written the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. At this very moment, my Savior is preparing a mansion for me in the other world. A member of the Godhead lives in my body. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Bible's my book. Holy Spirit's my power. Heaven's my home. And the rapture's my hope. And I realize it. I'm a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And here they walk. It will be worth it all. I'm sort of down, aren't you? Yeah, I really am. I thought we'd have him. He's gone. What are we going to do now? I guess we'll join Episcopalian church now. He never has lived over there. Fellows, could I chat with you, please? You're downcast, I see. Did you hear about the one that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 as the seed of woman? Well, he came. Well, we thought he did. But he's dead now. Oh, by the way, did you hear about the one that was the fulfillment of all the Passover sacrifices? He came. Did you hear about the one that was born in Bethlehem, prophesied in Micah 5:2? He was. Did you hear about the one born of a virgin, prophesied in Isaiah 7:14? He's come. Well, that's what we thought. But there he is. I've been walking with him for a long time. While other preachers are fellowshipping at McDonald's after the service, I'm in my room in the book, studying, reading, praying, preparing. We walked together through valleys where I felt like I couldn't face tomorrow. I've walked with him up on mountaintops where it looked like he could see forever. I walked with him and I thought defeat was inevitable. I walked with him and I thought defeat was impossible. For all these years, I've walked with him. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise his name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. And I'm aware of it. Wake up and live. Never have to say someday, I didn't realize what I had. When I passed the casket of John Rice, looked in his face, and stood and preached his funeral sermon, I didn't have to say I didn't realize what I had. When I stood right here and my mother's body was there, I didn't have to say I didn't realize what I had. When the day comes in his house and I walk down that aisle right there for the last time toward the front to get in the car and drive home, never to stand behind this pulpit again, you're not going to hear me have to say I didn't realize what I had. Wake up and live. Wake up and look. Wake up and hear. Wake up and see. And not like the two sorrowful disciples whose eyes were holden that they could not see him. Shall we stand, please? And the choir will sing.